All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where we're at. Been making our way very slowly through 1 Corinthians. Seems like it's been for years. I guess it has, probably. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and here we are, and Paul has just been slowly giving the church of Corinth just all kinds of things, answering a lot of questions, a lot of problems in the church at Corinth. Honestly, that's encouraging a little bit, because if God can help a church like Corinth, then God can certainly help a church like us. And we don't think that we're anything up on that church, but that church simply had a lot of outside influences. In fact, that's one of the biggest reasons why they struggled with so many things that they did, is because there was so much culture in the area that it had an effect on them, even in the church. I want you to think just for a moment, isn't it amazing how much culture, how much out there in our culture can tend to have an effect even upon the church? Think just for a little bit. Isn't it kind of hard not to let that out there infiltrate us? I mean, it's just everywhere, and our kids are out there and exposed to so much, and there's just so much that is going on. And honestly, that's one of the main reasons why this church struggled so much. Can I just say this, as your pastor, we've got to be careful on how much we are exposed to the, if I could call it, the culture that's out there. We've got to be careful. Parents, you've got to be careful with your children and just letting them go. And I know as parents, we've got to let the rope out slowly and let them, but we've got to be careful with what we're letting the rope out to. And we're going to talk about it here in just a little bit. I think we've got to give them responsibility. We think we've got to give them opportunities to make good choices. But we don't just try to. We're going to see here in a little bit, we don't teach them by just throwing sin at them and teaching them. In fact, we need to look at truth. And that's what we're going to do with this. We're going to learn truth. And so hopefully the truth will then help us to identify untruth. Okay, we be faithful at learning and growing in the truth. Parents, be faithful at giving your children truth, and they will learn what they need to about the world, if I could put it that way. We don't need to expose them to the world. But the fact of the matter is the world is out there everywhere we go. And that is what God wants, by the way. We've got to work through this a little bit, because why would God want that? You see, God wants us to be able to make a choice. If we just received, if he only put us in a bubble of himself, then what would it prove? What would it prove to him and our love for him if we were kind of forced to turn to him because it was the only option? But God, in his love and wisdom, has placed us in the world so that we can choose against the world and for him. And as parents, we're raising children, or we're raising parents to choose truth and to choose Christ. And by the way, that's one of our goals, is as we raise our children, is that we are praying. And we've got that however long, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, however long. We've got these years to train our children to choose Christ. Not just for salvation, but to choose to listen to him, to choose to obey him, to choose to follow him. And that is our prerogative, to train young people that they will listen to Christ. And that's really, think about it, as parents, you want them to listen to you and obey your voice and hear your voice. But we're really training them to hear God's voice. And when they can hear your voice, then hopefully they will be likely to hear God's voice. And that's when you're okay. And that's when we can let them go, because, hey, they're listening to God's voice now. Not the world. Not the voice of the world. And so we've got to be very careful with our family. Not just our children either. By the way, older people in the room, you're not exempt from being affected by the world. Don't think just for a moment that you're strong enough to face it. Well, I'm strong enough. I've been in church all my life, and I know the Bible backwards and upside down and all around, and I can I can handle it. Don't be fooled for a moment that we can handle. We are no match for the evil one. Just put it plain and simple. We are no match for the evil one except for the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? And of course, he is more powerful than the evil one, but we've got to walk with him. We've got to abide in him. And so these people in Corinth are greatly influenced. And one of the things that they were greatly influenced by were people that desired a super spiritual religious experience. They wanted to tap into something that was deeper than the average person. And so they followed hard after those sentiments, those things that could get them into kind of like another world. They followed hard after that. By the way, things have not changed in all these years. People follow hard after ways in which they can escape reality and escape truth and get into a world that is exciting and they feel like they can live. By the way, that is not always religion. Now, these people were using religion in a sense. They were using religion. But I'll tell you what, our society today has given our children ways to escape reality and get into a world that is not real. I want you to think just for a little bit, what are the ways our society has given our, and I keep going back to children, but it's not just our children, it's people, adults, how to escape reality. I'm going to open that up to you. What are some ways in which the world has, the evil one is using the world, worldly philosophy, to get us to escape reality? And we all know that reality of life is not easy. Life is tough, right? Life is difficult, and everybody would like to escape and get into another world. You know, we'd all like to go on vacation forever and escape. But, you know, as I told Ron, I said, you know, back to reality. You know, he was at camp. By the way, camp is kind of like this. I didn't say it's pretend world, but, you know, the campers go, and they're with all kinds of other believers and Christians, and they're hearing the word of God and on all this. And every time you go to camp, it's great, but every time it always comes to an end, and you drive down the mountain, you know, if you could put it, and reality is there, right? Reality is there. And so we have a world. But what are some ways in which, besides, you know, I'm talking about worldly, what has given to humanity to help, to aid escape from reality? What are some things? Just go ahead and talk. Talk to me. Drugs. Alcohol. What else? Okay, things, you know, controlled substances, yep, an escape. Video games. I want to stop on that one because we all know about the drugs and the stuff like that, and that's just, it's been ongoing for years and years, and so has video games, you know. It's been a long time. But I tell you what, the way, parents and grandparents, I want to tell you something. We've got to be really hard-pressed. I am not going to preach against video games tonight, but I will say this, you better be very careful. You better be very careful what we're allowing our children, grandchildren to do. Because what it does is it allows them to escape reality and get into a world. Have you ever tried to, you know, you get your child that's sitting there and it takes you 10 minutes to get their attention because, you know, you're in another world. I want to tell you something. You know, that is an escape. You know, even if it's not bad content, parents, we need to be very careful. Grandparents, we need to be very careful that we are not letting, you know, you escape the world. And that's exactly what these, you know, the first people mentioned, the drugs, the alcohol, all that stuff. That's why people do those things, because they're an escape. And yet we say, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. And again, I'm not saying that playing a video game, you know, is in and of itself is wrong, but we need to be careful that we're not allowing ourselves to escape reality. By the way, where is a Christian supposed to go when the tough times of reality come? Where are we supposed to go? Where do we turn to? We turn to him, right? We turn to truth. But you see, we allow ourselves to escape reality and go to a place that we can cope, right? And we call those things coping mechanisms in which we escape. And by the way, we all have these things in our lives. We escape reality through, you know, like we have our own place. Well, I got to go and get away from reality. I'm just telling you, that's one of the basic reasons why the church in Corinth was at where it's at. It was allowing the world of escapes to penetrate them, and they turn to crazy things, and which we're going to get to with the tongues, okay? And it wasn't a good thing for them, and Paul addresses it. Tongues in and of itself, the thing that God gave was a good thing, but they turned it into something bad, okay? And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. What are some other ways in which our society has given to us to be easy to escape? Music. You know, sometimes, you know, you ever seen somebody completely into the music they're listening to? You're like, wake up and drive, right? You ever seen somebody in their vehicle and they're just completely enthralled in their music? And I don't know what they're listening to. You know, probably Bach or Mozart. But you know, have you ever seen somebody, you know, into that? And it's like, wake up. You don't even know what you're doing. What else?
I'd say animation and caricatures. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, I like that you mentioned animation. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with animation, right? We all like to draw pictures and do that. But can this false world that's painted out there, and there's, you know, different companies, I won't name any of them, but these companies that are out there that completely try to get us, again, especially kids, to live in a different world. And by the way, we're getting off on some rabbit trails here, but by the way, I just want to tell you be very careful with the very innocent animated things that are out there today that are so innocent. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The companies that are behind them are not innocent people, and they are infiltrating your children right through their eyes, right through their ears. And they are getting those kids through these innocent, and I'm being facetious when I say innocent. They are not innocent. They are completely agenda-driven to get our kids so that they leave our, and for them to look at us and say, these two strict people that don't have any love for anybody, and I'm gonna stop there because that's not the message of tonight, but I will just say we've got to be careful to let our families follow into this escape of reality. Any other thoughts?
Social media.
Television. Social media for sure. Television. And especially if we allow it to be on all the time, right? It's just on and just going. And it's kind of, we kind of think it's we're not tuned. We're not really watching it. We're not really listening to it. What's a reality? That stuff is just coming into us and infiltrating us. And so we can get numbed by all this stuff. We can get, you know, honestly, just it's something just as simple as our phones. You ever see somebody just so inoculated and you know, into all the stuff that's on their phones? And again, I'm not preaching against phones, obviously. I have one, but I'm going to tell you folks, we got to be really careful what we allow ourselves to be influenced by. And so we come to this thing and we see, can it have dangerous effects on us? Can it change our theology? Yes, and we see that it was happening here in the church in Corinth. They were allowing the outside world, because there were a lot of people that were living at that time that were desiring an escape of reality. Nothing new under the sun, says Solomon. Nothing new. They've been trying to escape reality from the beginning of time. It's just they've used different things. And back in this culture, in the city of Corinth, they were using these divine experiences that got them out of reality and into another world that they experienced God. And it put them on a pinnacle above everybody else. And then we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. All right, so look at the verse. And you're going to see, this is just a backbone. We're really not going to talk about tongues very much. But we have to understand the truth so that we can understand the error. All right? Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. By the way, what precedes this chapter? Now, we didn't do chapter 13 because it wasn't long ago that we thoroughly went through 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And hopefully you remember that. We will refer back to it. In fact, in just a little bit, we're going to flip back a page and I'm going to have you look through and we're going to review some of those things. But what was chapter 13? Do you remember?
Charity.
Love. Okay? And he's talking about love. And we'll review what love is in just a moment. Okay? So, coming off of that, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now, the English here is a little confusing, and I'm going to try to hopefully help you understand it. But first of all, he says, follow after charity. Now, you're going to think of, what does this have to do with tongues? It's a foundation, and it's truth. Okay? And I even gave you a little bit of a hint just a minute ago when I was talking about this selfish, ecstatic experience that we get to have above other people. And then he says, follow after charity. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask the children first of all, okay? So you've got to be 12 or under to answer this question. What does it mean to, he says, follow after. What does it mean, children, to follow after? Any child want to raise your hand and say, what does it mean to, if I just ask you, follow, what does that mean? Any child want to answer? What does it mean to follow? Yes, ma'am. Kind of hard to define. How would you say it? What's that, Avery? Follow is follow, right? That's the way we like to, it's the easiest way to say it, just follow, okay? What about somebody else, okay? I know Avery's on the right path. She's got it. What else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so follow could be obeying. Would we say that that's a good definition of follow? Okay, follow is obeying. We obviously, if obeying is involved, then we've heard something, right? I mean, to obey, there has to be something that we're obeying. So something has been acted upon us or transferred to us, and we take that information and then we do something with it. I think she's on the right track, okay? So to follow after something is to obey something. Any other thoughts, children? Then I'm going to open it up to some older ones. Ben, are you? Ben, I think you're 30 now, aren't you? Ben just had a birthday.
29, he forgot.
Oh, no. You're 29, Ben? And here we celebrated 30 the other day. I don't know. I don't have any words for that, okay? 12 and under. Anybody else to follow? Follow. Yes, Malachi.
To repeat someone.
Okay, to repeat somebody, to go after, right? To somebody does something and you're going to do something right after that. Good. Okay, now I'm going to open it up to somebody else, to 13 and older. Okay, follow. Logan.
To stand and travel behind something.
Okay, to stand and travel behind something. Okay, that's, yep, we're getting this picture. Something is in front and we're following it. Okay, now I'm just going to mention to you that this follow is just there's a touch of a difference. In what, I mean, this English word was given here for an idea. This idea of following after is to run or pursue something very hardly in order to catch it. So some of you mentioned about being behind somebody. Maybe there's somebody that does something. There was an obeying idea. Somebody did something, and I'm going to do what they say. And it was mentioned that there's a kind of a copying what somebody has done before. And there's certainly something that's done before. And in this idea, there's something out there, and this idea of following after is to pursue it hardly. With all your heart, heartily. It's going after it with everything. It's kind of like in a race. Now, sometimes in a race you're not following unless you're second or third or fourth. But in this case, you are going after something and you're trying to reach it. You're trying to get it. And so therefore you're following after this. You're going with it with all of your might. And that's what it means to follow after here. He says, follow after charity. Now there's an idea here of following after that is to persecute endeavoring to acquire. In other words, whatever it takes for me to get there. I'm going to have to train myself. I'm going to have to discipline myself. I'm going to have to persecute myself in order to get. And what is he telling us to get here? Follow after what? Charity. Now, this word follow after is no light word. We're supposed to go after it with all of our hearts. Can I take a side note to tell you where we're going with this? Everybody listen. We're going to get into tongues. How could we stay away from error? That's by following hard after the truth. Parents, we don't need to inoculate our kids with all the wickedness that's out there, but if you help them to follow hard after truth, they will understand error. And that's exactly why Paul starts here. He's about ready to start unfolding this difficult situation of the gift of tongues, but he starts by saying, listen, you go all after charity. Go all after what I've given to you. You see, the problem with the issue of tongues back then and even still today is that these ideas stem from a hard pursuit of self and individual attainment to a special spiritual status. It's all about self. And I'm not trying to be hard on the charismatics. I'm not trying to be hard on somebody that uses tongues. All I'm simply saying, the basis and backbone of that is self. It has nothing to do with other people. It has everything to do with something that they get into. That's what it's all about. Edification does not come from that. And we'll get into that in just a moment. So we're supposed to follow hard after charity. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, following charity is exactly the opposite. Go back to chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. It might be on the same page. We start to see in verse 4 through 7 are packed, all of these things. And I want you to look at them and maybe remember what we discovered with these things. What is the basis of real love? Just go through the list. Charity suffereth long. Does that sound suffering? Charity suffers long. I want you to remember what that meant. You know, honestly, what that means is that there's a miserable, difficult person in your life. You all have those? Don't look around, okay? Do we have people that are tough in life? Can we just admit it? Yeah, we do. Well, that doesn't sound like something that we're supposed to. I mean, charity is about tough people. It doesn't sound positive. I mean, wow, suffered long And by the way, being kind, well, that sounds very positive, but the word kindness there is giving. It's giving to somebody that is in need. Needy people. Now, we're all needy. But sometimes we can look at needy people as a little bit less than us. You know, they're needy. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, you know, doesn't behave itself. Unseemly, honestly, let me tell you, the basis behind all this, and we already studied this in previous years, so we're not going to get into it, but I'll just tell you, the basis behind all of love and charity is learning to deal with tough situations and limiting myself and saying no to self. Every one of those things is saying no to me and yes to other people. Okay? No to me. I'm going to say it again. No to me and yes to other people. Doesn't that sound the opposite of what I briefly, we haven't studied tongues at all yet. But these people, what they were getting from society was all about me being lifted up and getting to this place to where I'm in this la-la land that I can just experience God. That has nothing to do with love. Because it's all about me and it's not about other people. And what is Paul, what is the very first thing, he doesn't waste any time when he's about ready to unpack this idea of tongues. He said, listen, you follow hard after truth, and that truth is love. Listen, you stick to love and it will keep you from self-indulgence. See, that's what we've got to do. We've got to follow hard after truth. So we're to follow hard after the undesirable, the undeserved, flawed people, which are all around us. Now, honestly, our church, Faith Bible Church, is probably not in danger tonight of me preaching this message because we're about ready to dive into the charismatic movement and to start speaking in tongues. That is not what we're dealing with here tonight. But what's the best way for us to understand it and to stay away from error? Exposure and deep study into, or rather following hard after truth? My friend, I want to tell you the best way to stay away from error is to follow hard after truth. And in this case, he says, you love other people. Do you know what Paul is stating? He's making a bold statement. These are not my words. These are Paul's. These are God's words. He's basically saying this because he's about ready to go into this. Again, tongues, the gift of tongues was something given by God for a certain amount of time. Does everybody understand that? We are not talking about something evil here. Now, the misapplication, turning of truth can end up being evil. You can turn the truth into lies. Okay? Paul here is saying, listen, the best way to deal with this misapplication of truth is to get you focused on doing right. Doing right. Any church that wants to stay right is not going to dive into studying all of the false, like all the sin and wickedness that's out there. And here's what we need to stay away from. They are going to study truth. And can I just say again, parents, grandparents, it's dangerous to have the idea of, I want to teach my kids what's out there so that they'll stay away from it by exposing them to everything that's out there. Now, I'm not saying that extreme sheltering is always right. Again, did God take us out of the world? He did not. And that's right. Again, because he doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to choose truth. He wants us to choose him. And when we choose him, he is most glorified. I can make one of my children do certain tasks. And if I made my child, you know, if I grab one of my children, I grab their hands and I grab the trash can and I put my hands around their hands and their hands around the trash can and I go like this and I force them out and I put it out there and then they come in, I'm not going to say to them, child, I'm not going to say, thank you so much for honoring daddy. No, I basically made you. But when they, of their own accord, see that the trash can is filled and they go and they get it and they take it out and they come in, then I say, you know what? I'm proud of that. You did it because you wanted to. You honored. See, the same thing is true in life. God does not force us or make us. He gives us an opportunity. He gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. And when we choose, didn't Caleb Reed talk about that a little bit, you know, in the garden? I think he did. Somebody talked about that recently. Okay, so he gives us a choice so that we can show that we love, so that we honor. And God gives us a choice. God could have taken us out of the world, but he did not. So we're not, yes, the world is going to be there, but parents, grandparents, and anybody that has children, I want to tell you something. The idea is not to go expose yourself to everything that's out there, to say no to it, because honestly, the devil is going to creep through with some of those things, and he's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. And we've got to be so careful to not do that. The best way to train our children to even identify what's out there is to give them what is right. My parents never, ever, ever exposed, you know, rock music to me and here, I want you to listen to 10 minutes of this, son. Tell me what's wrong with it. My parents didn't do that. In fact, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord that any time we were around that, they had us, they They would, you know, if we were in a place where there was a television, you turn down that music, you turn off all that stuff, you don't listen to it. You know, we as kids probably look like silly kids, you know, in other places, probably walking through the store, you know, the music was playing, we had our hands over our ears. That's what mom and dad trained us to do, and everybody's probably like, what's going on there? You know, we trained us that way. I remember going to, you know, my family was into sports, and I'm not saying that's the greatest environment always, but we were involved in some of those things. But I remember we would go to these tournaments or matches or whatever like that, and the music would come on, and all the kids would be like, and you say that's silly, that's ridiculous. Come on, you can identify that. But I tell you what, we didn't have to have a bunch of amazing training in music to identify what was right or wrong. And we're trained to listen to what was right. And when we listened to what was right, we immediately identified music that wasn't right. You say, how did that kid know? How did that kid know to cover his ears? What's the answer? Because you trained him, you gave him what was right. This is godly music. This is godly. This is what you ought to look at. And this is the books, these are good books to read. These are things that are pure and clean. And then when your child gets a hold of something else, they say, listen, you easily see this is not right. The best way for us to, and it's not just really all about tongues. It's about anything false out there. The best way that this church, you know, I could do some amazing, well, I really don't have the ability to, but I could try, I could spend a lot of time studying tongues and studying this and that and all these things that are out there in the world today, all the false cults and things that are out there, and we could do deep studies into all those things, and it would help us a little bit, but I will tell you the best thing that we can do is teach truth day in and day out in this church. What is truth? Because, you know, when we learn truth, you know what helps us when we go out there? It's just like the kids with going like this. It's like, I know that there's something wrong about that, but I never learned about that. I'm not saying it's never good to learn about these things. We're going to. In fact, I've committed in the next couple of weeks to doing some study so that you can understand, because you might have a relative, you might have a friend, you might have a coworker that's dabbling with it, and you ought to know a little bit about what the dangers and where it's coming from. But that's about where we're going to go with it. But I will tell you, friends, that the best protection is truth. And parents and grandparents in any area, not just these things that we're going to be talking about, the best way to do it is give your children truth. Truth, 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 truth. And it will help. Okay? So we must be excessively exposed to truth. In this case, the truth was following hard after charity. So hopefully we understand what charity is. Again, go back. Charity. Who can tell me? The main thing about charity is what? Others. Okay? We are saying no to self, and it's all about others, which will contrast this idea of what was going on in this church, okay? So we're supposed to follow hard after charity. How can we follow hard after charity? It's a limitation of self and a limitation of self and extension of others. Notice the idea of following after has a little bit of an athletic mentality to it. Paul often used athletic terms to follow hard after, as in a race. And again, the idea was hard pursuit after and persecution in order to accomplish. Persecution in order to accomplish. So when we follow after right, we'll be less likely to follow after wrong. We'll say no to ourselves and yes to others, okay? And so we have to think through that. But notice secondly, and we're just about out of time here, but second, he says desire spiritual gifts. So follow hard after charity and then desire spiritual gifts. Okay? We've recently learned, and we kind of went through some of the examples of the spiritual gifts. And the goal was not to discover what spiritual gift I have. That can be helpful. And some of you might have an idea of what God is gift, your spiritual gift. And we're not talking about talents, abilities. We're talking about spiritual gifts that we went through from the book of Romans, chapter 12. But as we go through those, what's the main thing, though? Somebody tell me, what's the main thing we understand, though, about these spiritual gifts? Okay, others is good. To edify. That's the word that I wanted. To edify. That means to build up others. And Pastor Dan is right. You know, the idea, when we misuse spiritual gifts, what's the result? It's self. Lifting up of self. When we use gifts right, what does it do? It lifts up others. And so it's talking about edification. So he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So of course, edification of the body of Christ. Building up of each other, each member of the body in the church. And that is what we're to desire. We pursue hard after charity. We desire edification. What does the word desire mean? I'll just tell you quickly as we're out of time. The word desire is to burn with zeal. Well, that sounds kind of like the word follow after. It's a hard pursuit, but it's not so much the following, but it's to burn with zeal. What do you burn with zeal for? There's all kinds of things that we might, as individuals, burn with zeal. But he says here we're to burn with zeal to edify and build up one another. Let me ask you a question. Is that part of your burning inside? Do you have a zeal? I just want to help my brothers and sisters at this church, you know? And to probably for all of us to be honest, we say, boy, I don't know that word could be used, that I desire it. I desire. See, we use the word so lightly. I desire. I would like to. But this word is much harder than I would like to. This word is, it is my passion. That these people are edified. Now, as we have to come to a close because of time, I just want you to think about where we're going. We're about ready to learn about tongues, which ends up being very selfish. If my or your passion is to edify the body of Christ, what will have to be left aside? Self. It has to be set aside. Folks, as we close, the application does not have to be tongues. It just so happens that that's what he's going to deal with. But can I put it on a more practical way? Because I don't know that anybody of you are dabbling with the idea of beginning to speak in tongues. I hope not, and hopefully to the end of the study you will decide that it is not the right thing, okay? But I will just say this. If you are following hard after loving these people, if what makes you tick every week is I just want to be a blessing to her, to him, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to think, just like we learned the last couple of weeks, this is what we got to do. I want to remember them, right? Remember them. And I want to be thankful for them. I'm going back to a message from last week. Be thankful for them, and then I'm going to pray for them. And then, you know, even from some of the things that we learned about this morning, and then even tonight, you know, following hard after loving my brothers. Listen, if I'm consuming my time with loving my brothers, if I'm consuming my time with, I am so zealous and passionate about edifying them, I want to do everything I can to build them up, I will tell you there's no time for me. And when I say me, I'm talking about in the wrong way. To dabble in things that I ought not dabble with. You see, we follow hard after what's right, and it will immediately separate us from what is wrong. Now, we are going to learn about this, the way that these people were abusing tongues, but I would submit to you that the foundation for what we're about to learn is we've got to do everything we can to be all about each other. The outcome of a group of people that are so desirous that I get into this spiritual state, me with God, whatever like that, is to forget everybody else around me, and all I see is just all this. And that is never, that God never, that is not this definition of being spiritual. Spiritual, you'll never pursue, and it almost sounds crazy to say, the pursuit of God never leaves the pursuit of your brother out. Did you hear that? The pursuit of God never, ever leaves the pursuit of your brothers out. And if your spiritual or religious thing is so pursuing, and it sounds bad because is a relationship, is fellowship with God, isn't that ultimately important? The answer is yes. But that you can never be right with God when you're not right with man. Never. And what happens is if our pursuit of God is leaving out man, that is not pursuing God. And what it's going to take us to is something just like tongues. It's going to take us off the beaten path into the weeds where we don't belong. So how do we stay on the right path? From 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow hard after charity. Desire the spiritual gifts. Desire edification. We didn't even get to the third one, okay? But he says here, and by the way, don't get confused with the English word that's used here. He says, but rather, that but rather is like a more so. But I say, even the best thing that you can do, and he's not leaving out charity, and he's not leaving out edification, but he says, and you know, kind of like add to this, he said, more so, to a greater degree, focus on giving people truth, okay? And I'm just going to do this really quickly, giving people truth. Now, prophecy was something we could debate on what it is, and a lot of good people differ on exactly what prophecy is. I can tell you it's not foretelling anything. We're not, this prophecy that's talking about is not looking into the future and saying, I think that Jesus Christ is going to come back in 144 days. That's not what he's talking about. This prophecy that he's talking about, very simply put, and especially right here, is giving of the truth, sharing truth with other people. And I want to tell you something, you don't need to be a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary to be a person that prophesies. Giving people truth. He says one of the main things that we need to do on top of loving each other, on top of edifying each other, is to be all about just passing along God's word with other people. And here, he's not even talking about evangelism with the world. He's talking about giving truth to believers. You know, sometimes we think all that we need to do is give truth to unbelievers. But you know, God says that we ought to give truth to believers. I need to be willing to share what the Word of God says, not my thoughts. And I really ought to stop right here because there's a lot of application that we need to learn with this. And maybe we'll come to that next week and finish up with that and move on to the next. But I will tell you, these are the things that we got to occupy ourselves with. You know, family, if I could just pretend here, you know, kind of like I raised in a family, is a daddy would tell his kids, listen, we don't got to worry about all that garbage that's out there if we focus on all that's right here. And if we focus on all that's right here, we don't have to worry about the garbage that's out there. And if we all in this church will pursue these three things and follow hard after them and give ourselves to these things and more so, you know, make it a point that we're going to share God's word with each other. If we will do those three things, then we will be safe from the things out there like these movements, like these cults, like these struggles that are out there. And we could be straight. When Jesus comes to get us, we will be doing exactly what he wants us to do. So I hope that there's some applications there for you, parents, grandparents, even in raising your children. Be careful about the cultures that are out there. Be careful about the influences from the world. You know, turn off that thing, go outside, do whatever the case. Try not to let the influences, they can be outside too, but be careful with those influences, but have a hearty pursuit after God and his righteousness. And God's going to take care of us. All right, so we'll stop here and we're going to continue on and we're going to learn all we can from this chapter, because it's a packed chapter and there's no way you can get everything, but we're going to do our best to at least unpack a little bit so that you understand, at least to be able to identify. But I think we have some good things to get started with, some good foundation that we need to follow hard after. Father, I thank you so much for what you've taught us and what you are going to be teaching us. God, help us to follow hard after truth, after charity. Lord, help us to inoculate ourselves with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see how we can be these things to each other. God, help us to be all about edification. He says, you know, that zealous pursuit for edification. God, help us to be all about edification. Lord, and even more so, giving the truth to our brothers and sisters, because the truth, knowing the truth will set us free. And so many times we feel in bondage of things, but Lord, the truth will set us free. Help us to be givers of the truth, to be prophets, giving. And so, Lord, help us with that. And thank you for what you've given to us tonight. Lord, help us to trust your word and leave here and obey it in our daily lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.